SBS Filipino.
Today, it's great to have once again in our program, food and travel writer, photographer and presenter Yasmin Newman. Good to have you again, Yasmin.
Thank you so much for having me back on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, Yasmin, you are close to SBS, not just with the Filipino program, but with SBS Food, where you create content, siempre about food.
That's right. Yeah, I think I've been working with SBS for somewhere between 5 to 10 years, and I've always loved it, I guess because they deal in real food and the stories behind food, I guess, obviously the cultural element, but all those nuances and richness that comes in creating food, not just the flavors of them.
Mm. But for SBS Filipino, we had you in our program a couple of years ago and talk about your award-winning book, 7,000 Islands, A Food Portrait of the Philippines.
Yes, that book is very much still dear to my heart, you know, as is all Filipino food. And actually, with the release of my new book, The Desserts of New York, it's giving kind of invigorated an interest again in 7,000 Islands. I don't know if that's the reason, but I've been getting a lot of reach out from Filipinos and non-Filipinos alike, just asking me about some of the recipes and stories in 7,000 Islands.
Yeah, and I have to tell you that I saw your book in one of the biggest bookstore in the city here in Sydney.
Oh, 7,000 Islands.
Yes, it's on display at the middle of the aisles.
Do you know which bookstore was that? Was that Kinokuniya?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, to all your listeners, if you're interested in that book, you must go and snap that copy up because it's pretty much out of stock around the world. We're looking...
Oh, wow.
We're going to be doing a reprint this year, but if you're... I've had people, you know, contact me from Canada desperate for a copy and they can't get any. So head to Kinokuniya now.
Yeah, and it's very attracting because of the colors of it.
Yes, it's beautiful. Yeah, I feel very lucky to have had a good design team at Hardy Grant for both books, actually. Like, it's just so beguiling and exotic and classic, I think, as well, with just, you know, that beautiful bits of Filipino kind of fabric work coming through.
And just for those who have little knowledge about your book, 7,000 Islands, A Food Portrait of the Philippines, briefly tell us about your first book.
Okay, so... I'm a half Filipina. My mum is the Filipino contingent of my parents. She's from Mindoro for those Filipinos out there. And for many years, I'd wanted to help raise the profile of Filipino food. I mean, globally, there are so few books written about Filipino food. So one, it was to help promote, but also to catalogue a lot of the recipes out there. I think a lot of you will resonate with this when I say that, you know, you'll ask your mum about a recipe and she'll say, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, just a taste, there you go.
Yeah.
But if you're not a cook, a competent cook, or if you're not even familiar with a lot of Filipino food, which a lot of second generation Filipinos have told me, and they've had samples of this and that, but they don't know it in the way that their parents do and they're eager to know more. There were so few recipes to recreate those flavors. And yes, there are some things online, but they're not kind of well-written recipes, or again, kind of forego some of those details that are kind of crucial. So I've spent my childhood growing up, returning to the Philippines every, 1 to 2 years for family holidays. So I fell in love with the culture and the food from a young age. And I guess it was, how many years ago now? Gosh. You know, 6 years ago now, I decided that I would take an extended period of time to travel from the top to tail of the Philippines and explore the country through its food, talking to different food writers and ambassadors and restaurateurs throughout the country about, you know, what Filipino food meant to them and to understanding those flavors. And through that process, I learned all about the history of the Philippines, in all of the dishes, from the fiesta food, to the noodle dishes, to the desserts. You'll learn this wonderful stories of the Arab missionaries, the Spanish viceroys, the American G.I. Joes, the Chinese workers, and the story of the Philippines, its culture became very much illuminated to me as I learnt more about the food. And so I went on to write a book about that with over 100 recipes, and those stories, that history weaving its way throughout the book, along with some personal anecdotes of my own, my time with my cousins and, some of the funny things they'd say about the food and my experiences with them too. I loved everything about writing that book throughout the process. It was very meaningful to me, and I got to work with my mum a bit because she'd been my official taste tester and also share some of her memories, as a child, growing up in a family of eight, and then also in her kind of high school and university years.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful time.
So with the over 100 recipes in your book, 7,000 Islands, did you cook all of them or did you try all of them?
Oh, yes. I'd say 95% of them are my own recipes.
Oh, wow.
So, the original plan was that I would share a lot more local recipes. But that proved challenging when I was traveling throughout the Philippines, because a lot of those dishes were guarded restaurant secrets or guarded family secrets. And a lot of people let me into their kitchen and I would watch and I'd learn. But often I developed the recipes more out of memories of those flavors rather than exactly that person's recipe. Mm. So my husband and I, he was my
travel
boyfriend
buddy
at the time. Well, no, he only came on a portion of it, but he was. We were living together when I was writing all the recipes, and we got quite fat eating all the food. I mean, each day I'd be, testing, between one and four different dishes. And I remember my butcher saying, because I was going in there every day buying, X kilograms of beef, a lot of pork. And he's like, what are you doing with all of this? And more importantly, are you eating it all? And then I stepped back and I realized we were eating all of that food. My favorite chapter was, with all the crispy pasta, because I have a very soft spot for deep fried pork.
Now we'll talk about your second book, which is already out in the market or online, The Desserts of New York and How to Eat Them All.
Yes, now that was another fun book to write.
It's a bit different because you didn't travel alone. You traveled with your family.
That's right. So at the time, I was 5 months pregnant with my second child, who is now a year and a half old. He's a little boy called Alejo. And my husband and I wanted to, have another adventure before, the madness of child two came on. And my brother lives over in New York. And when my husband and I got married years before, we'd passed through there for our honeymoon. And I'm a dessert lover, as I think most Filipinos are. We have, we're born with a sweet tooth. And I was surprised that first time I was there of what a rich dessert culture that New York had. I mean, I knew of some of the classics like the Brooklyn Blackout Cake and the New York Cheesecake and, the Italian cannolis. But I didn't, and obviously the kind of the new wave with Dominican Cell's Cronut. I think everyone's heard of that, as well as Christina Tosi, who's, the David Chang milk bar fame, and her, compost cookies and crack pie. So I went around trying all of those desserts. But along the way, I would meet all these other dessert lovers who would tell me about this amazing dessert and that amazing dessert that I just had to try. And so I spent, our 2-week honeymoon traversing the city eating desserts. I think I left my husband on the sidewalk just so I could go off and eat more. And so I'd kind of always had this dream to kind of go back and finish what I'd started, I guess a dessert mission to end all dessert missions. And so when I kind of put this to him, he loved the idea. I loved the idea of, taking some time off work and living with my brother and getting to know, in the way that I had in the Philippines, getting to know a place through its food. Obviously there's the pleasure that comes from these beautiful flavors that you have, but when you know, you have a kind of a hit list of venues you want to try, they take you to all these kind of far-flung places in a country, or in New York's case, in the city, often places that aren't just the tourist attractions, but where you'll find, you know, day-to-day life taking place, and you'll really get kind of the real sense of the city.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always loved food. It's, I guess, a gateway for me into new cultures. So, yeah, for 3 months, we camped out at my brother's place with his girlfriend, and together we would traverse the city eating dessert. it was about 4 desserts per day that I was consuming, which is obscene and also amazing.
And so the fat's worth it.
The fat was definitely worth it, but it was hidden all amongst baby fat. So, you know, no one really knew where it was coming from. And my little boy is the sweetest little boy ever. So I think he enjoyed it too.
With your travel in New York, did you ever encounter a Filipino baker?
Not a Filipino baker per se, but I'm just trying to think. I have to be honest, that book focused more on
the desserts.
Yes, or I guess less on ethnic desserts. Like, I would love to maybe do a spin-off at another time, because would you believe that in 3 months, actually, to get through all the desserts, like, we were running around every day trying to eat all of those desserts. And, you know, there are over 50,000 food venues in New York. I mean, there's 8 million people. It's a massive place. And so a lot of the authentic hole-in-the-wall places, from Filipino bakeries to Chinese bakeries and Jewish bakeries, I didn't, you know, I kind of only scratched the surface of that. So I didn't. But I did meet a lot of kind of Filipinos, you know, through my travels.
Mm.
Yeah, it always makes me smile. You can kind of, you know, you can hear the you know, the Tagalog from, you know, down the street, and the smiles and the warmth. I can always spot them, and I always make sure to go up and introduce myself.
Mm. What's the best part of your travel to New York? Aside from the desserts that you've tasted.
I just think New York is such an alluring city because for a few reasons. I think walking cities are fantastic because it's so easy to get around, but because everything's so compact, you almost force yourself to walk. It's easy just to kind of walk down the street than catch a cab or catch a metro. So you find yourself amongst it more often. And New York, because it's so kind of dense and so rich, that, you know, every meter of real estate is packed with something interesting to see. So, you know, shops change from one to the other, and then on the street there is this kind of kaleidoscope of different people. And, you know, it's a melting pot. I mean, that's kind of no understatement of the term. You'll see kind of everyone from around the world and accents as well.
Mm.
And, you know, being, you know, an avid traveler and, you know, like to think of myself as a global citizen, I really love that sense of globalness, really.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you're at the front of the world. Like, it's avant-garde. People, you know, people come there to succeed. And so it kind of attracts the world's best. But I also think that amongst that, it also has a kind of a realness. And I think that comes from the diversity of the people there. You know, you'll find pop culture, but you'll find every kind of subculture, and they all more or less kind of exist harmoniously. So I think as a traveler, anything that you're interested in can be catered for there.
Mm.
And, you know, I found that even in desserts. I mean, and I give rice pudding as the example. I mean, to have like a chain of rice pudding stores, I don't necessarily know if that would have been successful in another city, but because they've got so many people there with all these particular passions and interests, there's enough numbers to feed any particular, you know, craze or trend or just desire.
Mm.
And so, you know, you can be a young person, you know, partying and wanting to go to clubs, or you can be a little bit older with a young family, you know, hanging out in Central Park and going to museums and older than that. So whatever your age group, there's something to appeal to your interests. And I think that's why it's such a great city and why, you know, we liked it so much as a family and in other stages of my life when I've gone there.
And talking about desserts, what's your favorite among the ones that you've tasted?
You know, that's a very difficult question. How can I choose my favorite baby?
All of it.
All of it. Yeah, but I guess I had some favorites in each class. You know, I had my favorite cookie, which was from Levain Bakery, which was almost 200 grams, the size of a baseball, crunchy on, like, kind of crisp on the outside and gooey on the inside. Made me, you know, stop dead in my tracks, you know, on the street when I had my first bite. There was, you know, Big Gay ice cream. They do this phenomenal soft serve, which is, you know, vanilla but made from a premium local dairy. And then they kind of inject it with dulce de leche, and they cover it in a fine chocolate, and then sprinkle it with sea salt.
I cannot stop it.
That was another one. The donuts, donut lovers, you will love it. There's a pick there. Dough donuts for, you know, your big yeasted style ones that are, you know, bigger than the size of your hands. Or donut plants, the delectably soft cake donuts in flavors like tres leches, which is a Mexican cake, or carrot cake, or Brooklyn blackout cake. I mean, I could keep going on. I could fill your whole show with my favorites.
Maybe our listeners are like, oh no, can you please stop? I'm just craving.
Actually, every time I talk about it, it's like, oh, I've got to go make a dessert right now. I'm making myself hungry.
Yeah. With food and travel, it won't stop you in writing because it keeps on going and going. There's so much to talk about travel and food.
That's right. I mean, obviously, there's whole new cities and countries to explore, but also places that you've been before are always evolving. And, you know, you can look at them through a historical kind of lens, or also a kind of a modern trend or kind of new restaurant prism. And I think that's why it's such an exciting place to be in.
Aside from the yummy desserts, what's there to look forward when our listeners grab a copy of The Desserts of New York?
I really wanted it to appeal on a lot of different levels. I mean, obviously, yes, the desserts first and foremost, but and that can be either cooking the recipes, like recreating those flavors at home, or simply drawing over them and the pictures. But you could use it as a guide. I mean, in each chapter, there's a comprehensive guide to all the venues to try out. And if you're not a dessert lover, they'll still take you to interesting parts of the city, as I kind of told you. But I guess also as a food story or a travel adventure, you know, I kind of liken it a bit to my eat and an eat, pray, love dream or story. So there's kind of a narrative running through of, you know, our young families, desire to just take a little bit of time to fulfill a dream of ours. And I hope in some ways that it's inspiring for other people. You know, my husband is a food lover, but not at all to the same extent as me. He's a surfer. And, you know, yeah, I guess for him, you know, taking time off work to go to a place to live with his family was a dream of his as well. So whatever that is, you know, for you, I hope that just says, you know, work is great. And this was work for me, I guess. But, you know, life's short, and there's nothing more fun than taking a little sabbatical to do something you've always wanted to do.
And have a dessert.
Exactly. You know, and in between desserts, New York has some phenomenal burgers. So just to balance things out.
Looking forward, is there something in your mind to write a book about the fusion of Aussie multicultural food, maybe?
I'm actually in the process of talking with my publisher about, you know, the next book and what that might be. And I'm not going to give too much away, but that could be something we'll talk about.
Yeah, because you've written 7,000 Islands, which is about a little bit about yourself, which is being half Filipino. And then one of your favorite cities, which is New York. But I know you're Australian. Maybe you can also write a book about Australia or Australian food.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you say that, because that has been top of mind, you know, for me recently. So I'm glad that you see it the same way.
Yeah, so maybe for our listeners, there's something to look forward from Yasmin Newman.
Definitely. And I want to thank you and SBS and Filipino Radio and all the listeners or anyone who has my book for all the support, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Yasmin, and good luck to your book and to your next endeavor.
Thank you so much.
sbs.com.au/Filipino.